Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ask Rob and Rob, the show where you get your questions in and we give you our thoughts, opinions, and answers, which hopefully you find useful. And judging by the number of people who download these episodes and the number of questions that come in, you obviously do. So to keep this format running, we need your wonderful questions. And we make that very simple to get them in. Rob, do you want to remind everyone?
Of course. 013-808-0035. That's the number you need to remember. Or maybe you don't. You could just go to propertyhub.net/ask. Either way, our voicemail service is there for you, so you can send your question our way, just like Jason did.
Hi, Rob and Rob. It's Jason here. Listen to your podcast every week, and I think it's brilliant. My question for you is, I'm currently saving for my first investment property and should have about $20,000 by next year. Should I invest in my first investment property with that low deposit? It will be with for a relatively low value property, and that will get my foot on the investment ladder and start what I believe you guys call the snowball effect. Or should I continue saving for a couple more years, get a bit more of a substantial deposit, and wait till I can afford a better value property? Cheers then.
Jason, hello. Thank you for your question. And it's a good one. It's a tough one to answer as well, because you know what? You've saved up a significant sum of money there. And I completely understand the temptation to invest. What I would say, though, is if you do invest in property right now, you need to accept a few things. So first of all, if you're going to put 25% down, it won't be £20,000 because you're going to have costs. So you might be able to get away with putting £15,000 down as your deposit and saving £5,000 for costs. Now, if that's the case, then that means you could buy a property worth £60,000. And are there properties out there for £60,000? Yes. Yes, there are. But you've said cheap properties, and that really is cheap. And the way property prices have gone right now, there are not many places. Still some exist, but there are not many places that you can buy a property for £60,000. And in those places, they tend to be considered the less desirable areas. Now, doesn't mean they're nasty areas or the people there are bad or anything like that, but they are less desirable. The reason why the property prices are that low is because not that many people want to live there. If everyone wanted to live there, then the prices would go higher. So, with that in mind, you have to accept a few compromises. One, the capital growth prospects of that area over the short, medium, and long term are probably not going to be great. So, you may get a decent yield, but the long-term prospects for that property aren't fantastic in terms of capital growth, at least anyway. You might get a reasonable yield because of that price point, but the amount of profit in terms of pound notes you'll make each month will be low because the investment amount is low. So you might make, let's say, £100 profit each month after all costs, which might sound okay, but as soon as something goes wrong, that £100, which it will because it's a low price property, that £100 is eaten up and it disappears quite quickly. Myself, my lowest priced property that I have in my portfolio, the profits get wiped out fairly regularly by things that are going wrong. And that's because, unfortunately, the tenant profile that that property attracts has meant that I've had to spend more money on it. Even just standard upgrades and repairs, which you need to do a maintenance on a property. A boiler costs the same in a cheap area as it does an expensive area. Might cost you a bit more to fit it in an expensive area, but a boiler is the same price pretty much wherever you buy it, if you buy it on the internet, at least anyway. So it may sound that I am a bit down on you investing with that level of money. And you know what? You'd be right. I would say there is a positive, though. And the positive is that you would get experience. You would. But as a financial investment, I think you could do better. What I would do if I was you is continue to save, but also invest. And don't go wild with your investments, but put that £20,000 to better use to accelerate you to a place where you can get your deposit that you need. So maybe the amount is, say, £30,000. £5,000 for costs, £25,000 deposit means you get a £100,000 property. Yes, that's still on the low end of things, but the difference between a £60,000 property and a £100,000 property is vast. So it's probably worth you going to that level. I would really encourage you to build on that deposit amount and possibly, like I've said, invest the 20,000. Nothing too risky in case it doesn't work out, the investment. I'm not saying put it in Bitcoin. That amount could double in 12 months, but it could also half, and you'd be pretty devastated if it halved. But you could put it into things like property. Now, of course, you'd expect me to say portfolio here. That is an option, but you've got loads of options. It's nice that it's exposed to property, but there are other ways you can get exposed to property as well. So however you do it, it doesn't really matter. But I would invest in something that's relatively solid and stable, that's just going to do a bit better than the standard rate that you'd earn in a bank by saving, which, let's face it, is next to nothing. And then get to, say, 30,000 as quickly as you can. And at that point, you'll get the upside of the experience still, and hopefully a property that will give you less issues in the short term and better prospects in the long term.
Well, that is what I think we call a comprehensive answer. Loads of wisdom in there for you, Jason, and Rob, completely back up everything that you've said about low value properties. I have exactly the same thing. Okay, let's move on to our second question now. This one comes in from Mike.
Hi, my name's Mike. Following a change to our property management company on our property in Northampton, we have just received a service charge demand for 2022, which totals an increase of 92.5% over the 2021 cost. How easy is it to challenge this increase, which I find incredible? And also, is it fairly straightforward, or is it going to be a costly matter? I really would appreciate your thoughts on this. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mike. Really good question. And I'm sure you're not going to be alone in the shock of having a nasty service charge bill dropping through the door. It happens, and you want to know what to do about it, as will lots of others. So thank you for asking the question. Now, an increase of 92.5%, which is basically doubling, is not normal. I know we've got inflation at the moment, costs are going up, but that is quite something. So the first thing to do is to try to understand what's driving this increase. So when you get your service charge demand, you should receive a breakdown of what makes up those costs. And it depends, depending on the management company, on how detailed that is. I get some where it's just like a breakdown of 6 or 7 categories. I get others where it's itemized in loads of detail. But either way, there should be something showing you something. And you should see the estimated to actual for the previous year, and then you should see the estimate for the following year, what they're asking you for. Have a look at that and see what's driving the increase. Because it's got to be something big. Service charges don't just double. So I've had situations before where they've been underestimating energy costs for years. Then someone's gone out and read the meter properly, and suddenly you get the whole bill land all at once. Even that, though, isn't enough for a service charge to double, probably. So what's going on? Is it that they're suddenly trying to build up a reserve fund, and they should have been doing that for years, but have only just started doing it now because parts of the building are coming towards the end of their life cycle? I don't know, but you should be able to see it. And if you haven't received that breakdown, then make sure you ask for it. And then once you've got it, challenge it. Not challenge it legally, but challenge it in the sense of asking questions to try to understand what's changed. They might not be super willing to enter into a conversation about it, but they should give you some answers. Having done that, it may be the case that you don't like it, but you can understand why the increase is what it is. Maybe it's a one-off relating to one of the reasons I've talked about before. Maybe it is you've been historically undercharged, but maybe you'll get to the point of going, okay, that's fine, I can deal with it. If you're not, then your options very much depend on the nature of the arrangement that you've got and the size of the block. You could, for example, band together with the owners of other flats to contest the charges if you really strongly disagree. You could potentially even go down the right to manage route. And if you can get enough owners together, you could take over the management, get more control of it, and put a managing agent in charge where you believe that the fee structure is going to be more reasonable. It's hard to give specific advice about that because every situation is different. But one thing that you can do is that there is something called the Leasehold Advisory Service that I've talked about on the podcast a couple of times way back in the past, but it's really good. They've got a helpful website, but they also offer free advice calls. I think it's only about 15 minutes or something, but you can book a call, speak to someone, and they'll be able to give you some kind of pointers about what to do next. So that can be especially useful if you are thinking about maybe challenging it or trying to do right to manage, and you want to get a bit of a pointer about what to do with it without starting to rack up any legal bills. So, Mike, lots of things that you could do about this, but it all starts with digging a bit deeper and getting to the bottom of that chunky increase. So good luck with your detective work.
good look indeed. Thank you for your questions and thank you for listening. Hopefully you've enjoyed this episode. We'll be back, of course, on Thursday with the main event, the property podcast. So until that wonderful moment occurs, have fun, take care, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.